spiritual battle. And today, I want to go through the Old Testament teaching on spiritual battle. We think mostly the New Testament talks about spiritual battle, but, you know, there's so much in the Old Testament. You know, people have a long picture of spiritual battle. If you're old like me, people get their view from movies. Like, I don't know if you guys know this movie, The Exorcist. The Exorcist, I think it was made 1970s, you know. So a lot of people get the picture of spiritual battle from Hollywood movie. You know, this priest come out with a cross and holy water, and the person who's demon-possessed sprinkle holy water on them, and they scream, and the priest says, "Power of Christ compels you," and the person, you know, starts screaming, and the head starts spinning, and, you know, that was the Exorcist movie. But I want to go through, okay, if you really want to learn about spiritual battle, we have to look at the Bible. And so I want to go through biblical teaching on spiritual battle. And so, you know, this last couple of weeks, what I've been doing is just all my past notes, I've been kind of putting it together. And so what does the Bible say about spiritual battle and not the, you know, Hollywood movies? So in the Old Testament, we see right from the beginning, the garden in the book of Genesis, the garden in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is a story of Adam and Eve in the garden, and it's also a story of God's creative work. But we also see in the garden that it's also a story of spiritual battle. In the garden, it's a story of spiritual battle. In Genesis 3, the Bible says the serpent or the devil comes into the garden to deceive and tempt Adam and Eve. The devil comes to destroy their relationship with God. That was his purpose. And in the garden, you know, what we see, God shows tremendous grace to Adam and Eve. You know, God told Adam and Eve, "You could eat from any tree. Right? Except one." Okay, just one tree. Don't eat from this one. How hard can that be? Just don't eat from this one tree. You could eat from the tree of life, but not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? And the devil made Adam and Eve question God's word. Did God really say that? Okay? Did God really say that? And the devil deceives them, making them think that God doesn't really care about you. God doesn't really love you. God is really, what he's doing, he's limiting you. God only cares about himself. And what the devil says to Adam and Eve is, "You will not certainly die if you eat from that one tree. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, you know, when we talk about spiritual battle, I talk about agreement, okay? Here, Adam and Eve agree with the devil. And when you agree with the devil, and when you agree with lies, you give power to the devil. You give power to lies. And as a Christian, we're supposed to agree with truth. And when we agree with truth and God's word, we give power to truth, and God's word have power over in our life. And that's why the Bible says truth will set you free. Lies will keep you in bondage. Truth will set you free. And this is an important teaching. When you agree, what you agree with, you give authority to it. Say that to your neighbor. What you agree with, you give authority to it. Okay? And the devil steals the authority that God gave to Adam and Eve. Okay? What do I mean by that? Okay? God told, you know, Adam to rule over the garden. Rule over God's creation. God gave authority, right? And that's why, you know, Adam named the animals. There's this authority given, okay? And I believe God gave human being, us, authority over God's creation, okay? Earth. God gave authority, spiritual authority over God's creation. And God's plan of authority is related with stewardship. Okay, stewardship. To rule over it in a godly way. To take care of it. But once the fall happened, human being abused authority. Okay? See, Adam and Eve agree with the devil. Adam and Eve gave power and authority to the devil, and the devil stole God-given authority over the earth from Adam and Eve. How do I know that? Look at this passage in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 7. Now, this is when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and this is one of the temptations. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdom of the world. And he said to them, I will give you all their authority and splendor. And he says, it has been given to me. Okay, who gave it to him? Right? And I can't give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Okay? The devil stole this authority. Okay? And the world, Jesus calls the devil in John chapter 14 the ruler of this world. Okay? But remember, original plan was God told Adam and Eve to rule over his creation. Okay? That was the original plan, to steward the earth. Okay? But now, after the fall, it's the devil, the ruler of this world. And during the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, the devil shows him all the kingdom of the world. And he says, I will give you all their authority if you worship me. And he says, it has been given to me. Who gave the devil authority over the world? He stole it from Adam and Eve. Okay? He stole it. They were to rule over the earth, but when they agreed with the devil stole their God-given authority. Okay? And this is why the work of Jesus Christ is so important, because the gospel message, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, is not just the eternal life that we have. It is also restoration of God's God-given authority to us. Hello? What? See, after the fall, this teaching is very important when it comes to spiritual battle. After the fall, God talks about spiritual battle between the offspring of the woman and offspring of the devil. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And it says this, I am declaring war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. And he's prophesying future about Jesus, the seed that will be born, that's one seed that will be born from the woman. He will wound your head, and you will wound his heel. Okay? So after the fall, God declares there was going to be this spiritual battle between the seed of a woman and the seed of the devil. Right? But there's this great prophecy here. Right? But there will be one seed in the future, one offspring from the woman, a child that will be born in the future. He will strike your head. You will just bite his heel. And this child is going, what he's saying is this child's going to be victorious over the devil. It is prophesying the future work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Right? And he's going to be victorious. He's going to restore the spiritual authority. Right? And we see this in the ministry of Jesus, what he did with his disciple in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 19. And this is the 72 disciples that he sent out, right? The 72 disciples returned after being sent out. They returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name. Okay? And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This is to the disciples of Jesus. I have given you authority. Okay? I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. And I, you know, again, we know what this means. It's not, you know, the snakes, the, you know, the animal. They represent demonic work. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome. Now, this is the restoration of God's authority to the disciple of Jesus. And what does the Bible say? To overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Okay? This is what Jesus said. So, Jesus sends out the 72. Here's a picture of the authority that we have as a disciple of Jesus. God is showing what the kingdom of God looks like. Even the demons submit to us, they said, in your name. And as a disciple of Jesus, okay, this God-given authority is restored. And we're not supposed to use this authority to control people or to manipulate people or others. But we are given the spiritual authority to break down the work of the enemy, right? To open the prison door, to set the captive free. Right? You need to believe what Jesus says about spiritual authority because of the work of Jesus on the cross. That spiritual authority is restored. Right? Is restored. Say to your neighbor, yeah, I have spiritual authority in Christ. What does that mean? They have to listen to you. Hello? The demonic spirit has to listen to you. Right? Now, I want to continue. We went to the book of Genesis in the garden, and I want to go to Moses and the Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus. Now, Moses was face to face with the Pharaoh, and Moses told the Pharaoh, let the people of God go so that they could worship God, right? And the Pharaoh's response, if you go into the book of Exodus, this was his response. Who is the Lord? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. And I really believe in the book of Exodus, the Pharaoh is a human representation of the devil. Huh? It's a human representation of the scheme of the devil, what he's like. Huh? How do I know that? Because, you know, even though Egypt is hit with plague after plague after plague from God, the Pharaoh does all he can to keep God's people in bondage. Read the book of Exodus. Huh? The Pharaoh was about to lose his kingdom, but he doesn't care. He wants to keep God's people in bondage. Huh? And after the final plague, the death of the firstborn, the Pharaoh finally let God's people go, but then what does he do? He assembled his army to bring them back. Right? To bring them back. And so from this, from the book of Exodus, when it comes to spiritual battle, you know, this is, what does the Bible show about the Lord in the book of Exodus in the midst of spiritual battle? You know, the Bible says his people cried out to God for deliverance. cried out to God for deliverance. And here's the good news. God heard their prayer. God heard the prayer of his people. And the Bible shows that God's people didn't know that, but Bible shows that God was preparing and raising up Moses to be a deliverer. God's people during that time might have thought that God didn't hear their prayer, that God forgot about them. But the book of Exodus, in the midst of spiritual battle, bondage, God didn't forget. Okay? God didn't forget. When God's people were in bondage, people might have concluded, even this wrong thought, this lie, that the Pharaoh was more powerful. But in the book of Exodus, the Bible shows that's not true. Okay? It's not true. You're being spiritually attacked. Right? And it's so easy to focus on the devil when you're being spiritually attacked and become afraid of the devil. Do not be afraid. Right? It's not true. God defeats the Pharaoh and his whole army. Right? His whole army. The devil does all he can. That's his scheme, to keep us in bondage. The Lord works to set us free and walk in freedom. And God's people said. And the next, I'm just going to go two more books. In the wilderness journey in the book of Exodus and in the book of Numbers. Okay, the wilderness journey in the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers. Now, the wilderness journey was God's way of preparing his people for spiritual battle. What do I mean? The promised land was a land filled with giants and fortified cities and strongholds. It was filled with evil cities, the promised land. If you look at some of the history of that time, even the Bible mentions it, how some of the people in that city would sacrifice their baby to Molech. You know how evil those cities were? That when the angels visited Lot, the city came out to rape them. They wanted to rape them. So the promised land was a demonic stronghold. And the wilderness was to prepare God's people to fight the spiritual battle in the promised land and conquer it and overcome it. And in other words, inherit the promised land. In the wilderness, God's people went through different trials, right? And the trials were to prepare God's people for the promised land. And almost all the trial, the trial, what was it supposed to prepare them for? To make them grow in faith in the Lord. So that their faith would grow in the Lord. Now, you need faith to overcome spiritual battle. You need faith to overcome giants and strongholds. You need faith to overcome demonic powers. That's in your life. Now, what is faith? And the Bible mentions it. Faith in Romans 10, it talks about faith comes from the word of God. Hearing the word of God. Right? And so, what they were supposed to do when they were in the wilderness and they saw the promised land. You see, Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis 15 with Abraham, God. And then even in Exodus chapter 3, this was the word of God. This was the promise of God. God will give that land to you. You will inherit that land. He told that to Abraham. Your children will inherit that land. God will help his people to conquer and take over the land from all their enemies. Huh? But what happened? In Numbers 13 and 14, right, they came to a place called Kadesh. The nation of Israel was Kadesh. It was the border between the wilderness and the promised land. It was the border. And they had to just cross into the promised land. But what they did was they chose 12 scouts to spy out the land. And 10 scouts came back with very bad report. Okay? The report was, there's giants in the land. There's fortified city. They will destroy us. They will eat us up. They're too strong. We're just grasshoppers. They will kill us. They will destroy us. Right? And they had a choice. People of God had a choice. Walk in faith in what God promised in his word and obey it, or not believe God's word and disobey it. God's people in number 14 chose to not believe the promise of God. They chose not to put their faith in God's promise and God's word. And in Numbers 14, what did they do? They wept out loud. They grumbled. And they said to each other, can you believe this? This is what they say to each other. Let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. And time again, when it got hard for them, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They weren't thinking about fighting the spiritual battle and overcoming the spiritual battle and having faith what God said, that they will be victorious, that God will help them. It was easier for them to go back to bondage. To go back to bondage. And because of this rebellion against God in Kadesh, the people of God were stuck in the wilderness for 40 years, lost. Lost in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, it is not easy to walk in biblical faith. Okay? It is much easier to devote much of your faith to fear. Okay? Some devote much of their faith to lies. Some are more caught up with their past failures, their dysfunction. But you and I, as a disciple of Jesus, need to make a choice each day. Okay? We need to make a choice each day. Not feel sorry for ourselves, not blame others and complain, or become a victim, become disillusioned and hopeless and hide. Okay? It's to walk in biblical faith, but it's not easy to walk in our Christian faith. Why? Because you'll go through a spiritual battle. The enemy will come and accuse you. The enemy comes to steal and lie to you, to fill you with doubt, fear, shame, and condemnation. Many of us come from dysfunctional family and dysfunctional childhood. Okay, but what's biblical faith? You're being hit with spiritual attack. But my challenge to you, let's choose not to live in unbelief, but to live by faith. See, biblical faith is not pretending something is true when it is not true. When in college, some of us did this, I did this. I didn't study the whole semester. I missed half the class, half the lecture, right? And I watch, just play video game and, watch movie throughout the semester. But then eventually the finals come. Okay? The finals come. And I did this all the time. I go, I believe, even though I didn't study the whole semester, I didn't go to the lecture, okay? I didn't take any notes. I believe in one night, one night of study, I'm going to ace this test. You know, that's what I used to do. I'm going to ace it, right? That's not faith. Huh? You go, oh, that is not faith. That's foolishness and laziness. But it's not faith. Biblical faith is not a feeling. You know, we trust what we feel, believe what we feel is true, what we feel is right. But usually when it comes to biblical faith, feeling often gets in the way of faith. Because faith says, I'm going to move ahead in what God says, not what I feel, what God promised, who God is, not what I feel. Biblical faith, it's that I trust what God says more than my feeling. Okay, more than my feeling. Biblical faith is not bargaining with God. Okay, you know, God, I will attend church every Sunday. I'll give to charity. I will go on mission if you do this for me. That's not biblical faith. What is biblical faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Okay. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is hoping and being assured about what we do not see. It's not talking about your desire or your feeling or the circumstances or people's opinion or even your past. Okay? It's not fleshly vision. What you do not see is talking about a spiritual vision. As Christian, as a disciple of Jesus, God is calling us, okay, to go beyond what you see in the physical, but go beyond what cannot be seen to a spiritual vision. Okay? And what is spiritual vision? For example, salvation. You cannot see it right now. Okay? You know, forgiveness is just, you know, sanctification, eternal life, our identity in Christ. We cannot see it. It's not based on feeling. What is it based on? It's a spiritual vision. And what do I mean by spiritual? It's based on God's word. It's based on God's promise. It's based on the Bible. Okay? Not your parents' opinion. Not the circumstances. Not your past trauma. Not the rejection. Not the lies. But based on God's word. You know, there is a truth about God, about his kingdom. This is spiritual truth. There's a truth in his word. No matter what the world says, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how you feel, no matter how much the demonic is attacking you, you believe and practice God's word and his promise. This is biblical faith. In order to overcome spiritual battle, you need to stop agreeing with the devil, stop agreeing with lies, the offense, the negative thoughts, the fearful thoughts, the sinful thoughts, and agree and put your faith in God's word. Turn to Matthew 13, verse 19. This is the parable of the sower, and one, I picked this one soil, type of soil, because it's related with spiritual battle when it comes to faith in the word of God. Okay? It's, Jesus says, when anyone hears the message, the word of God, about the kingdom and does not understand it, here's the spiritual battle. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed that is planted along the path is God's word that is being stolen by the devil. It's a person who is losing the spiritual battle. It is someone who hears the message and the Bible says about the kingdom and does not understand it. Does not understand it. It's talking about biblical faith in God's word. Understand that word, understand, is related with biblical faith. And the word understand in Greek is an understanding gained through the five senses. Okay, what do I mean by that? You see the word of God. You hear the word of God. You touch the word of God. You smell the word of God. You taste the word of God. That's the Greek understanding. You understand it because you're using all your senses. You're using all your senses. What is it talking about? When the word of God comes to you, the problem nowadays, the word of God is just an information in our head. It's just a concept. And what this passage is saying is, no, it can't just be a concept. The word of God needs to be brought out into practical human experience. Practical human experience, meaning biblical faith. If not, the seed is stolen, removed and snatched from your heart. You lose the spiritual battle. Okay? So I want to give you an example. At Catalyst, we teach about identity in Christ. Right? We talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We talk about discipleship. We talk about mission. We talk about healing. We talk about spiritual battle. Right? And today, I'm talking about faith. Right? I'm talking about faith. And you hear this biblical teaching, the word of God on faith. And right now, you guys are all receiving it. Nobody is falling asleep here, thank God. You guys are all receiving it. And inside, you're even going, amen. Look, you know what Pastor Sam just preached on faith? Amen. I agree. This is good, you know. But here's the thing. Service is over. You go home. And you go home. A spirit of fear starts attacking you. Okay, what do you do? If you practice biblical faith, you don't listen to the spirit of fear. But instead, you go 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. You just walked in faith. You go home. I don't know, somebody offended you, right? And so you're carrying this offense and bitterness start to well up in your heart. You don't listen to the spirit of offense. You don't listen to the spirit of bitterness. Instead, this is faith. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander. Along with every form of malice. You practice God's word when you're offended. You're walking in faith. If you don't do that, Matthew 13 is saying, if you don't do that, over time, next time you hear a sermon on faith, you go, amen, amen. But that seed loses its power. Okay? There's less power in the seed. The power, what does it mean when the devil comes and snatches? The power of the seed is removed, so it has no power to change who I am. Okay? The word of God has just become information, and it has lost its power to change who you are. So Christianity becomes, can you believe this? Christianity becomes powerless. And you keep doing that, and powerless Christianity become normal. Christian truth, God's word, God's promise, is a concept, and it becomes just a theory and not a change of life, transformation, encounter, and miracles. Now, in Catalyst, this is want to teach overcoming spiritual battle. If you go to deliverance class and stuff like that, in some places, what they will say is, they'll give you a prayer to pray, but they also say identify the demonic spirit. Is it a spirit of shame? Is it a spirit of condemnation? Is it a spirit of rejection? But that will give you power, right? I don't really agree. Okay, this is what we teach in Catalyst. Overcoming spiritual battle is about discipleship, not memorizing some prayer. It's discipleship. And this is what Jesus did with his disciple. You know why? He rebuked his disciples for their lack of faith again and again and again. Because faith is so important to overcome spiritual battle, not a memorized prayer. Right? That's why Jesus made sure he would correct them and rebuke them, and because he would get sad because of their lack of faith. In Scripture, there was a mother who was not a Jew. Instead, a Sino-Phoenician woman who had a daughter who was demon-possessed. Okay? And the mother would continuously cry out, "Jesus, help me." And Jesus didn't pay attention. And she got so, I guess people were so bothered. The crowd tried to stop her. The disciple tried to quiet her down. But she would not. She would go, "Jesus, Son of David." And when she said that, you know what it hit me? Here's a non-Jew who studies the word of God. Who studies the word of God and believed it. When she was crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David," you know what she was saying? "I believe you're the Messiah." The Messiah. "Help me." And this is what Jesus said about her. "You have great faith." And if I'm correct, Jesus only said this two times to two different people, and they were non-Jews, the Sino-Phoenician woman and a centurion. "You have great faith." And because of her faith, her daughter was delivered from demonic spirit. Because of faith. Amen? Okay, let's pray.